Tony, thank you so much for doing this. As I mentioned, I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw the little plug you gave Cameo, so I retweeted it, got some more retweets out of that. It's great to talk to you. I'm going to ask you the same thing we ask all our guests, obviously, right now. Just how are you keeping? How's your family keeping? And what's the view of this pandemic from where you are?
Oh, this pandemic has been a culture shock for me. We even had a lot of these kind of little things come up were a big thing, so to say, because everybody's, you know, staying in over here, quarantining in the right way. You know, we're washing our hands, putting Lysol on damn near everything. We just social distancing pretty much and just keeping it safe on this end, if I could say the words of the least.
I want to take advantage of having you on to ask this question. When I'm watching an NBA game, what should I look for to help me understand what makes a great defender?
Well, a lot of what makes a great defender comes with, first thing first, you definitely got to understand that you put your uniform on just as well as the opponent. You put your shoes on just as well as the opponent. And part of that deal, I believe, is there's not really too much worrying about the name on the back of the jersey. You get what I'm saying? And understand it's a game within the game. It's a competition, you know, and you want to be able to, you know, hold your hat on the defensive end with preparation. You know, when I say preparation, I just think you say a defensive-minded player. So, I mean, I just think it all starts with just the preparation of studying film and, you know, understanding the opponent's tendencies, if I can say that. Anything to just make that in the more simplest form. But it's more and more and more to that diagram I just gave y'all. But, hey, I'm definitely looking at the league now and seeing that that part of the game is, you know, slowly but surely getting out of the way. They putting their mind so more on these threes and, you know, getting the score up to like 130-140, whereas in the era I came in, we was trying to hold opponents under 100. And I just think with doing both, it kind of shaves the defense out a little bit and you focus more offense. But it's a few guys left, I could say, man. Guys like Pat Beverly, Marcus Smart, you know, I can name an up-and-coming cat who I see a big, huge side on the defensive end of things. Josh Jackson, cat, played for Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know. When you talk about defense, I can go on and on, man, but I ain't mean to keep running your interview.
That's great. Is there a mindset that goes with it, Tony? Like, does it take a certain kind of
personality to do? Yeah, and I was speaking about the mindset beforehand, because, you know, you got big marquee names in this league. I mean, you could just name a few of them and throw a few off the head. LeBron, Damian Lillard, just guys to that caliber. There's no way you can go on that court admiring these guys. There's no way you can go on that court, you know, having the mindset that, you know, a fear. You get what I'm saying? So it's more so studying the tendencies, knowing which way he loved going. You know what I'm saying? Put the mindset to, okay, this, if he loved going to this right side and stepping back at a 10 times he making this shot, 7-8 times. Well, we're going to have to make them try to do that on the left side, and I'll live with my results. You know, kind of put your mindset in an analytical standpoint at that stage, but you just can't get discouraged, you know what I'm saying, because the tables might turn. You might start the prolific score might start just busting you. You get what I'm saying? But, hey, that's where you come in with your mindset. Well, I'm not going to worry about him being a la whoever. I'm gonna live with the results of the analytical standpoint of him going left. He don't normally hit game when it's going left and stepping back. And, you know, just try to limit him, because I don't think no defensive player, even myself, I never really shut nobody all the way down. Like, if a guy was averaging maybe 25, he probably got his 25. I kind of put my mindset on the person. I'm talking about myself personally. I kind of put my mindset on it personally, where if he averaged 25, he's going to have to take at least 31 shots to get this 25. He's not going to get 25 with just 11 shots. You see what I'm saying? That's why I said it's a game within the game. You got to play that with yourself. You got to say, all right, if I'm a glue guy, I'm a stopper guy. And I'm a stand up for this job. You get what I'm saying? Ain't no way in the world my team going to be in a good way to win. He getting his numbers. He's shooting less shots, high percentage, and that's my assignment. I might as well sit on the side and sit on the bench because I ain't helping us at all. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Tony, what did you make of the Raptors when the season shut down? And are you surprised they've been able to have the success they've had this year without Kawhi?
Oh, I think they making all the noise over there in the East, man. You know, what surprised everybody was like Kawhi leaving. For the first hand, we thought, you know, he'd probably come back, run it back. But when he left, I mean, those guys were already trained to be, you get what I'm saying, high caliber guys. And him leaving just showed, you know, their work ethic, you know, how hungry they were with his chance of being there. It shows how pivotal they were to the championship. They still in number one spot, you know what I mean? Or shooting for the number one spot, playing just as good as anybody in the league. I mean, it's shocking. I can't front. I wouldn't sit here and say that I expected them to be where they at right now. And guys like Powell, you know, I like the defensive guys. I'm gonna get Powell some love. You know, he had come back strong. He had got hurt a little bit, but he was playing well. I like how he came and approached the season. Obviously, Kyle Lowry, you know, he was an all-star. You know, that's my boy. You know, I love his game. I always call him Cheeseburger when I used to play with him. That's my boy. He an all-star, though, man. All-out pro, man. I worked out with him in the summertime and everything, man. I already knew what he do. Like, you get what I'm saying? So who else was it? Marcus Saul. I already know he was working out hard this summer. He came and saw me this summer. So I can't say that I can't say that I thought those guys was going to be where they at now. But, man, they making a lot of noise. And y'all already know Pau Siakam, that guy right there. I'm thinking the keys is in his hand. And for that Toronto's club, man, I like the ball club signing him. He's blossoming. Man, Toronto lit, man. What you want me to say, man? They lit. They is lit.
Hey, Tony, one of the things I did want to ask, you know, we talked about when you were coming on. I've had a chance to interview a couple of times post-game, and other people have as well. You had a long – I mean, you played the league a long time. Yeah, but you also – you know what? You had the reputation of being a good teammate and a good dude. But I'm going to ask you a very simple question, man. How do you maintain that? You know, how do you maintain that?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. Because, look, I just did an interview the other day, and I was telling the interview dude, I was like, yo, man, I know every angle in being a pro. I've been in the games where I didn't play not 1 minute. And I'm talking about not 1 minute. And I had high fives. Smacks on the ass. Oh, well, I don't mean to say smacks on the ass, but you know what I mean. Smacks on the butt. You know, camaraderie type stuff. I kept the camaraderie together. You get what I'm saying? Because what's first can't get put second. I'm here. I'm on the team. Ain't no I in team. I learned that when I was 7, 8 years old. You get what I'm saying? However, I always looked at it like when I get my opportunity, I got to be ready. Get what I'm saying? I can't go on the court tripping, mad. I'm pouting. I done worked out all week shooting this shot in the corner, or rather making this layup on the drive, or whatever kind of move I'm working on all week. And guess what? If I don't play, I don't play the minutes that I want to play, and coach just so happens somebody get 2-3 fouls more than what they normally average, and it's time for me to get in. And I got that attitude, man, I ain't got in this quarter and I ain't played this many minutes. I'm not going to be productive, bro, because part of basketball is being mentally happy. This is where we go release part of our problems that's going on with the world. We get to run away from all that when you playing on that court. So when I'm in that environment, I got to have good spirit anyway. That's me in the locker room. I'm probably cracking jokes if it's the time and the place where we can eat and ha-ha. You know what I'm saying? But when it's time to be serious, and then when I get on that court, I'm focused and I'm having fun, bro. You get what I'm saying? So I can't be – how I'm going to say I'm happy for you? I'm like, yeah, I come out the game. I'm trying to clap your hand, right? I'm trying to clap your hand, but I'm mad than a How that – that's – I mean, oh, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please edit that.
That's Canada. You can get away with that. Don't worry.
All right. I'm mad because of my minutes or because of somebody playing in front of me. No, you know what I live by? I live by stay ready. You don't never got to get ready. You get what I'm saying? Being in the NBA is a privilege, not a right. You get what I'm saying? I don't let that go over your head. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege, not a right. So, of course, while I'm there, this is my dream. You could pinch me. I'm dreaming. So I gotta have that type of spirit anyway to be at work. I don't know who you know like being at work that's mad at I don't know what all day. You get what I'm saying? Nobody. So that's how I approached it. I'm like, I'm happy to be here. I'm thanking God I'm here. This is a blessing. Yo, if you play me 1 minute to 21 minutes, I'm telling you, coach, I still love you. It's love. You get what I'm saying? I'm gonna go 110% for you, and that's just always been my master. My bad, man. I've been in the house all day quarantined, and I got a little energy right now. I'm sorry.
That's all right,
Tony. All right, don't apologize. Right. You just gave us a nice clip. We appreciate that. One more for me. What is your favorite story of a player attempting to get under your skin in a game?
Nobody could never get under my skin because I think this really, really for real. Like, nobody can never get under my skin because I'm not talking to nobody on the court. I never even had no conversations with no players on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, never, ever have I, like, had a conversation. Hey, man, what's going on? What's good, man? Yeah, nothing much. What's going on in the town? Nothing much, man. Hey, it ain't none of that going on in the game. But me, how many games I played? 900 and some. I never indulged in conversation. I'm talking even with look, it's funny you said that. I was just talking to Al Jefferson yesterday. You know who Al Jefferson is?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's my boy. You know, we got drafted together. So he told me yesterday, ATA, I ain't going to even lie to you, man. You did start acting a little funny, man, when I got traded, man. You won that ring. I say, why you say that? He say, man, you don't remember that day? He's like, we had came he said, I had left Boston and went to Memphis. We was playing him, and he said, I had came, tried to say what up to you before the game and shake your hand. And you told me, man, hey, man, ain't no fraternizing before the game. We'll talk after the game. So just the mindset for me remembering back that I actually told him that, and this is one of my best friends, it further lets you know I don't really talk to nobody during the game. I'm so focused. I didn't just watch – listen to this. I didn't just watch, but my pregame warm-up was I watch. When I get there, I wait, chill for the video guy to bring the iPad in there. I got to go shoot in like about 15 minutes. I'm watching film that I've been watching all last night before. We done watched film the day before in practice. We done watched film early in shoot around in practice. Right before I get to the game, I'm watching that same film of the play. You get what I'm saying? I go shoot, come back, get my treatment. I'm still watching film. You know what I'm saying? I go get in the ice tub and cold tub. I'm still watching film on whoever I'm guarding. You know what I'm saying? So by the time I get in the game, I done studied so much film on them. I'm just alert. My antennas is up on specifically defending this guy, getting more rebounds than him, stopping him from putting the ball in the basket. And if he dribbled the ball too high, I might take it from him. And that's just how I am. That's how vicious I'm. Well, not vicious. That's how focused I am. You know, and trying to give a vicious attack on the defensive end.
Hey Tony, how's the cameo thing going? You getting some? You getting
cameo
some
cool,
that?
Man? You see all this energy I got right now? I'm over here with my son. My son right here, his mom feeding him right now. So that's normally my time right now. But you know, I just got a lot of energy. They gave me the opportunity, man, and it was one of those things where like, you know, you sitting back, you quarantining. It ain't too much going on. The best way to, you know, interact with the fan in a fun way, engage with people over the world, fans, you know, they able to, you know, just drop little messages, or you able to get them little messages for themselves and they loved ones, you know, it's just an opportunity that I think fulfill this boredom over here. Definitely.
No. I was just going to say, hey, listen, it was great of you to join us, Tony. And I mentioned it, as I said before, loved interviewing you, man. Just a couple of times. It was so much fun. You were so gracious.
And listen, I would love to for us to interview any other time, man. I'm telling you, because I ain't, in Canada, y'all only saw like 4 reporters every time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that many reporters. It was like, it's only a few of y'all. I know y'all. I know when y'all see y'all, but... Man, it's love, man. Appreciate the interview, man. Whenever y'all want to holler about some basketball, man, trust me, I got so much time. It's on my hands, you know?
All right, man. We'll do that. You be well. Best of the family, too, Tony.
All right. Thank you, brother.